Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at him at this moment. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were going to fall so fast. We had an explosion and we are defending and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
It's 5:37 p.m. There's a cold sweat on the back of your neck. You're standing at an ATM in a crowded grocery store. A few yards away, the cashier's drumming her long red nails on the counter next to your groceries. There's a long line of people waiting to pay. You turn back to the ATM and swipe your card for the third time. Nothing happens. Your card won't work. Behind you, someone in line lets out an exasperated sigh. You apologize to the cashier. Annoyed, you head back to your car, where you fish out your cell phone and give the bank a call. It takes three tries until a woman's voice finally answers. But it's just a recorded message, so garbled you can't make out a word. You hang up, start your engine. On the way home, you stop off at a gas station. The attendant comes out as usual, but before you can speak, he asks a strange question. You buying or selling? Confused, you tell him you just want to fill her up. But when you try to give him your credit card, he suddenly backs away. Sorry, we're closed, man, sorry. You sit there for a moment, wondering what has happened. Finally, you head home. You tell your wife what happened? Definitely strange. But she figures it's probably just a computer problem at the bank. They'll have it sorted out by morning. You agree. But as you fall asleep later that night, you're not so sure. Suddenly, it's 4 a.m., and there's a cold fear deep in the pit of your stomach. Something doesn't feel right. It's not just a computer problem, and you know it. First thing next morning, you take a trip to the bank. It doesn't look open. A piece of paper taped to one of the doors tells you that it's been closed temporarily. No explanation, just a phone number to call, and what looks like a government logo, but not one you recognize. You give the number a shot. It's that garbled message again. You hang up. Around the side of the building, there are a couple of dented ATMs with broken screens. As you head back to your car, you notice a man kneeling down by a pickup truck parked nearby. He's got a hose running from the truck's gas tank into a jerry can. Suddenly, he looks up and catches you staring at him. The look in his eyes tells you not to linger. He watches as you get in your car and drive off. Everything's closed. It's that same piece of paper everywhere. The same dark screens on every ATM. You start running into other desperate people, trying to deposit Social Security checks, take out cash, or find out why their cards suddenly aren't working. This is not just a problem with your bank. Your whole town is essentially shut down. And now, that fear, that cold fear comes back. Something is very, very wrong. Credit cards aren't working anywhere. Most stores and gas stations are closed. Those that are still open have cash-only signs on their doors. That's a big problem, because you don't have much cash left.
That's a big problem, isn't it? Okay. Joseph Gibson here on Blog Talk Radio. It is 6:07 p.m. on the East Coast. Welcome, everyone. I'm doing a show tonight with no guests. It's open mic night. I was going to schedule a guest, but I figured we'd do a couple open mic nights. I want to thank the Sarge, retired Illinois State Trooper, who called in on Sunday, gave us an earful. Thanks for him for calling in last Sunday. That was a great show, and the show before that when I had Linda and the Sarge on. That was great. Awesome shows. Awesome shows. A lot of hits. A lot of emails. But the intro I just played to you is very interesting. Here in Greensboro, North Carolina, we had a gas supposed shortage where a pipeline mysteriously broke somewhere. And all of a sudden, all the gas stations didn't have gas anymore. And, of course, you had the hijackers, the price gougers out there, the Habibs, who wanted to – oh, that's racist. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. But the greedy people out there who raised gas prices up and up and up. There was one gas station that was in Greensboro, North Carolina, that was charging $5 a gallon for gas. Okay? And, of course, he's been fined now because this happened back in 2008. Same damn thing. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? But if supposedly a pipeline had broke someplace, and this happened 8 years ago, about 8-9 years ago in 2008, same thing happened, but a larger scale, where gas was shorted, and everybody ran to the gas station to fill up their car like that was going to solve all their problems forever. You know, just because they got a full tank of gas. Well, what the hell are you going to do if there is no more gas after you run out? I mean, you know, that's just so stupid to put a strain on the supply of gas. You know, I mean, when I go, I like to fill up anyway. You know, you fill up your gas, but some people put $2 in, $3 in, $5 in, which I understand they may be short of money, blah, blah, blah. But the point of it is everybody's running to the gas stations, and now all the gas stations are out of gas. And what did I just tell you? They can't get the delivery anymore because the pipeline is broke. So what happens? The gas stations, all the Sheets gas stations were closed as far as gas was concerned. And people are panicking. You know, some gas stations put a limit, $25, $10, 10 gallons. And it makes me wonder, is this a test to see what would happen? If and when those ATM machines don't work anymore, when those food stamp cards don't work anymore, when those government checks are nothing but a piece of paper, okay? When you go to the bank and the bank says, sorry, You have $10,000 in your account? Sorry, there's a limit here. $500 you can only take out every 7 days. What will you do? Well, there's some banks right now that have that. Chase has a limit, $3,000. My bank has a limit on ATM transactions. I can only take $300 out from my bank and every day from the ATM. If I want to take out more, I got to go inside the branch, and then they want to ask me questions why I want to take out more money. Okay? You try to deposit or take out more than $5,000, they have to do a SARS report. SARS report is a security report where they have to report it to the government, wondering, because the government's suspicious, and under the Patriot Act, which deems you a slave, and it's not just blacks, it's not just whites, it's not just Jews, it's every American. The Patriot Act that deems you a slave, okay, you're an enemy combatant. According to the Patriot Act, they can detain you anytime they want, as long as they want, as long as you're a suspect and a terrorist type of act. But we're not getting into the Patriot Act tonight. We're going into banking, okay? But it has a lot to do with it because we all know terrorists have to have access to money, and you're a terrorist if you take out more than $5,000 from your local bank. Many of you may not understand this or understand what I'm talking about, but it's true. Walk around with $3,000 in your pocket and get pulled over by a cop and see what happens.
What are you doing with all this money, sir?
So what? I got $5,000 in my pocket. Big deal.
You must be a drug dealer.
You must be a terrorist. That's it. According to the Patriot Act, they can detain you without a lawyer, without due process. Look it up. I'm not lying to you. So next time you want to go out Christmas shopping and you got a little extra cash in your pocket, be careful you don't get pulled over by one of those Federal Reserve enforcers. Okay? Make sure you're not searched. Make sure they don't see you have a large amount of cash, because you could be detained indefinitely. Indefinitely. How do you like that? Call me crazy. Look it up. You got the internet there. Don't go on Facebook. Don't go on Twitter, Twatter, or whatever the hell it is. Look it up. Start having a little bit of knowledge here and understanding the times in which we live in today. That's the name of the program, folks. Understand the times in which we live in today. People say, until it happens to you. And it does happen to a lot of people. We've had guests on this show where the system's got them, and they can't get out, you know? And I'm not saying everyone's innocent out there. We got, you know, there's criminals out there who deserve to be in prison. But that's not the point. What I'm saying is that you can walk out your front door today, and whether you believe it or not, just bending over and taking a deep breath, you'll probably break a law. Believe it or not. It's crazy. It's crazy, but nobody cares. Nobody pays attention. We got to go here. We got to go there. I got to get to work at 8 o'clock. I got to go to my GOB job, just over broke. I got to go over to my job, you know, and I got to be a slave to the system, because that's what you are. And then we're going to be distracted. We're all tuning into the boob tube at night, or the flat screen now, you can call it. They don't have tubes anymore. You know, we're watching the riots in Charlotte, people rioting over nothing, nothing. Okay? You have George Soros funding Black Lives Matters and provocateurs to go down there and create a racial issue, even though a black police officer shot that young man there because he was holding a gun. Now, look, I wasn't there. I don't know the truth. So you say, okay, that's well and fine. So neither do the people down there protesting. They weren't there either. So what the hell are they protesting about? Because you know what? We live in the time of deception. You don't know what the hell's true or not. Okay? We all know the police, okay, are tyrannical today. They are. It's a fact. We had the retired Illinois state trooper on my program last week. He justified, and look, his argument was great, but at the same time, I disagree with him on some issues. The police are working for the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a criminal institution that is enslaving every American, no matter if you're black, white, yellow, purple, or whatever. And you need to wake up, people, and understand this. Stop feeding into the system. Stop feeding into that television set. Stop feeding into the music. It's hypnotizing you to believe a certain way, to believe a certain way. Remember, divide and conquer. The upper elites of this country, of this world, that is their prerogative to divide and conquer us. It's a fact. It's a maxim of law. Big fish always eat little fish, right? And these bankers, these banking cartels, the Federal Reserve, these money masters, money changers that are out there ever since the Lord has walked this planet, or whatever prophet you believe in or whatever, they've been around taking advantage of each and every one of us. And they are sophisticated, they are smart, they are 25 to 50 years ahead of us in technology. They are laughing at us. They laugh at us because we are slaves to the system. We're using paper receipts to buy and barter with, and we'll kill each other over it because we have no other choice. If I was to walk into a gas station and say, here's a couple gold coins for my 30 gallons of gas, they'd laugh at me and call me crazy. But according to the Constitution that we all talk about each and every day, it says gold and silver is the legal tender of this country. So why can't I buy or sell with it? Because you don't have a Constitution, folks. You're a slave. You're a slave. You were bought the day you were born. Look at your birth certificate. Look at those numbers on the right-hand, left-hand corner, wherever they may be. Every year they switch them around. But look at those red numbers. They're banking numbers. They're routing numbers. Even the birth certificates of new, that it, my son, I went and picked up a copy of his birth certificate for his school because they had to have it. Why, I don't know. They had to have it. It has a barcode now on it, a barcode. And why are all birth certificates on bonded banking paper, bond paper, because you were bought the day you were born, when you registered in that hospital room, okay? When your parents registered you in that hospital room, you became a chattel. You became property of the Federal Reserve System, okay? You became a slave. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you got five arms, one arm, or no legs. You're a slave. We all are slaves to the Federal Reserve System. Okay? Like Aaron Russo said, we must concentrate on that one problem, the Federal Reserve Bank, and focus on it like a laser beam. And he said, I guarantee you, it will all fall into place, all the problems, social problems, economic problems, political problems, religious problems. It'll all fall into place, and we'll understand to solve the problems we face today as human beings on this planet. Americans, Israelis, Russians, Chinese, communists, whatever, we'll all be able to figure it out. When you understand the central bankers who control this world today, who have put every major power into power, Hitler, Mao, Stalin, Obama, everyone, they put everyone into power to control you a certain way because they have a plan, and that's to achieve a new world order, a one world government. Whether you believe it or not, and they have all the time in the world because they are hypnotized in believing they can live forever as long as they serve and worship this system. And you say, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Let me tell you something. You ever been to a Masonic lodge? Look them up. Look it up. Go to Bohemian Grove. Alex Jones exposed the Bohemian Grove. You know? I'm not going to get into a big in-depth conversation about the New World Order tonight because it'll throw us into 1,000 different topics and subjects. However, I have studied the New World Order, and I know what their agenda is. And that's the title of this show, Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. So, I've got a caller. I'm going to go ahead and get to the caller right now. And if there's anyone else who wants to chime in or talk, like I said, it's open mic night. You can remain anonymous. Only I have your phone number. No one else can see it. We have no guest scheduled tonight. I wanted to leave it open because I've been very busy doing a lot of things. So I've been unable to, you know, communicate with a lot of people. And just to get off topic, we all love entertainment. I hope you tuned in to the sports show. The captain show, the sports show on Friday nights where we do our picks. And if you didn't get your Super Bowl picks in for the $500 cash giveaway, shame on you. Because all you had to do was pick the two teams that were going to play in the Super Bowl this year. And if you were right, you would have won $500. So anyway, back to the show at hand. I got my first caller, area code 203. I believe that's one of my supporters, Bitbanker. Go ahead. How you doing?
Yes, it is Bitbanker. Can you hear me this evening?
I can hear you just fine.
That's great. You know, you were talking about banking, but before I talk about banking, I just want to let you know I visited a Masonic Lodge two, three years ago. I went in, I knocked on the door, and I got a grand tour. They weren't in business with members there. Well, not very many members anyway, but they gave me the tour. And they were very skeptical about telling me anything, really. But after about a half an hour, they did open up and they started talking to me. They took me into the grand ballroom, and they showed me everything that was going on in there. Of course,
can I ask you a question? Did they have any checkerboard squares in their floors, kind of like, you know, checkerboard floors like? Did they have any of that?
Well, I was getting to that, yes. They had checkerboard floors. And they also had silver eagles and things of that nature on stands. And they had the throne where whoever it is would sit. But they gave me the whole rundown about how it works and everything. But they really wouldn't tell me anything. And they don't drink or serve alcohol. But everyone I spoke to, which were a number of people there, probably three or four I spoke to, because when I first walked in, you know, no one wanted to talk to me, and they pushed me off to someone else. They were all drinking because you could smell it. So what they do there, I don't know, but they were all drinking, whatever. And you know, the basis of their claim is they believe in a higher power, whether it be the devil or whether it be God, whether it be your dog or cat. That's supposedly what he told me they believe in. But that was my tour to Masonic Lodge in Meriden, Connecticut. But this evening we're talking about banking, or you were speaking about banking. Well, a week or two back, I told you about my problems with Wells Fargo Bank and how they're keeping me safe by walking around with $2,000 to $2,500 in 20s in my pocket. Well, I came down to Greensboro again, and I went to buy my groceries. And I do smoke cigarettes. And in Connecticut, a carton of Parliament is about $109. And down here,
wow,
you get a carton of Parliament. And down here, you get a carton of Parliament for $56. So as I did my groceries, I got a carton of Parliament because, you know, basically it was half price. Well, when I went to check out with my groceries, again, they locked my card and I wasn't able to buy food. But I did have cash in my pocket. So we did manage to pay for most of the groceries. I did have to put the cigarettes back. It was $240, so I put the cigarettes back, and we paid cash. But that left me with about $6 in my pocket. And I stopped at one of those ATMs that you should never use in those stores, which steal your identity and everything. And my card wouldn't work in there either. It was declined. But luckily, you know, I had a spare card from NetSpend, and I had some money on that. So the NetSpend card worked, and I got some cash out of the machine. And when I got back, I called Wells Fargo, and I spoke to a gentleman named Henry the first time. And he was talking to me, and he really, you know, really didn't want me to say anything. And I was talking to him about the $184 million in fines that Wells Fargo has to pay after discussing, of course, my problem with him and everything. But when I started talking about the $184 million in fines and things like that, he actually hung up on me, and he didn't want to talk to me anymore.
Wow.
But and my card was still locked, so I was unable to do anything. Now, in Meriden, I could walk a mile, and in that mile, I could stop and buy cigarettes, I could stop and buy beer.
Meriden, Connecticut, you're talking about, correct? Meriden, Connecticut, right?
Correct, yes. And
okay.
In a mile's walking, in less than a mile's walking, I could do all my grocery shopping and walk back home, and I could probably do it in 45 minutes start to finish. Down here in North Carolina, it's a mile from the door to the road, so you're not walking anywhere. So when you have $6 in your pocket, you're pretty much screwed. And this was last week. So it was during that gas crisis as well. So after Henry hung up on me, I called back, and of course, I've got all these polite representatives from Wells Fargo who are just trying to keep me safe, and they're so very sorry for my inconvenience that I had to pay someone $50 to take me grocery shopping, and that when I got there, I couldn't get my groceries, and I had to come back home. And he hung up on me, so I called back and spoke to a supervisor. And believe it or not, the supervisor's name was Ahmed or whatever like that, a foreign guy. He didn't have an accent per se, but he had a real deep voice, and he was the supervisor, and he was very nice to me. And I told him the whole story about Henry, and I explained to him about the $184 million, and I wanted to know what's going on, if Wells Fargo was actually putting a hold on my money so that they can use it to create fake accounts or things of that nature to better their business, but yet make me suffer. But he didn't hang up on me.
Bitbanker, hang on. After you're done with your story, I have the customer service number for Wells Fargo, and I want to call them and ask them some questions about this creating fictitious accounts. So those of you listening in, you need to stay tuned because I'm going to call Wells Fargo live on the line tonight. But Bitbanker, go ahead. Continue with your story.
Well, he was very good. He helped me out. And I was on the phone with him for probably a good half an hour at least. And then, of course, he knows the story. I have to pay somebody $50 to take me grocery shopping because it's a 40-mile trip. And he turned my card back on. Now, he wants to know if I can go to an ATM and try it just to see if it works. You know, so evidently they're really not listening to what the customer is saying because I've told them, I can't go to an ATM here. It's $50 for me to go out. Now you want me to go out just to see if it works? But since then I've gone out and it's been working fine. So if you have any problem with Wells Fargo, do not speak to the customer service representative. Speak to a supervisor. That's their job. Supposedly that's what they get paid for. So you know what? Let them do their job because they haven't been doing it for me. And Wells Fargo it's probably just good business sense for them now to be fined $184 million because they've probably made $2 billion on all the fraud they've committed. So it's good business sense. And just
that's
like Trump
right.
said, just like Trump said when the other night when he was on with Hillary, Hillary wants this, Hillary wants that, but she's doing it. She's been doing it for 30 years, and nothing has changed because it's all a bunch of bull. And it's just like the banks. They're not trying to keep you safe. They don't care about you. They're so sorry for you. They're very sorry.
Well,
we
what
apologize.
Was the end a Bitbanker, what was the end resolution with you? You said you tried to buy groceries. When you called up, I mean, thankfully you were able to buy your groceries because you had enough cash on hand. But what was the end result? Did they reward you with a customer inconvenience? Because we know when you overdraft your account, they charge you. Or if you bounce a check, they charge you. So what about when they screw up? Are they being charged with anything? Did they give you anything back? Or just, I'm sorry, I apologize, sir.
No, I even asked for some consideration of some kind, and basically they just laugh at you. It's just that we're so sorry. We're sorry for the inconvenience, blah, 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 blah. It's all talk and no action is what it is. They don't care. They don't care what you have to spend. They don't care how much money you lose. All all they care about is keeping you safe by having you walk around with $2,000 to $2,500 in 20s in your pocket so that you can get pulled over and be labeled a terrorist or a drug dealer, just like you said before. That's how they're keeping me safe. That's how Wells Fargo keeps their customers safe. And you're absolutely right. There's a $300 limit on my Wells Fargo cards as well. And if you want more than that, you have to go in. And as I said before in previous shows, in Maryland and Connecticut, I know they have facial recognition software because when you walk in, they know your name before you even step up to the counter to talk to them. So they're well aware of who's walking in. It's probably to keep their money safe, whatever money they do have.
Well, Big Banker, I want to call Wells Fargo. I want to call Wells Fargo customer support. And I know they'll maybe put me on hold, blah, blah, blah. We've done this before. And what did Wells Fargo do? They created, can you explain this to some of the listeners? They created what, fictitious accounts?
Yeah, I don't know the specifics because I really don't follow it. But, yeah, supposedly they created, I don't know, I heard a million or whatever fictitious accounts. And you know, they funded them somehow or whatever because they were having a contest of some sort or other. That's about all I know about it. But the guy supposedly testified in front of Congress or whatever. I didn't really pay attention to it. But I
Wait a second. But Wells Fargo was fined and found guilty of this already. So what? They were fined. But I don't understand. The bank holds the people's money. Where does the bank get? Where does the bank get its money from? You know, I mean, how does the bank just create money out of thin air?
Yes, they do. They create money. When you go in and deposit money, it's called fractional banking. And at one time, they were doing
fractional reserve banking, you mean?
Well, yes. If you deposit $1,000, they put $163,000 on their books. And that's the way it's
how
done.
How could they do that, though? But don't they have to balance their books, BitBanker? I mean, don't they have audit commissions? I've heard of them, and they have audit committees and everything. I mean, they have to justify that money somehow, some way. So maybe that's what Wells Fargo was doing. See, it's confusing. A lot of people don't understand the banking industry out there, and that's what one of our founding fathers stated, that if anyone was to ever understand the central bankers and their ways, we would have a revolution the next day in this country. So, I mean, they create money out of thin air.
They don't have to justify what they do. I'm sure they have banking rules and regulations. When Bernanke was in front of Congress, the head of the Federal Reserve, Mr. Bernanke, will you tell us who you gave trillions and trillions of dollars to? Yes, banks all around the world that needed it. Well, tell us who they are. No. I'm not going to tell you who the banks are. We gave away trillions of dollars, and we're the Federal Reserve. We're higher than God. We don't have to tell you. As a matter of fact, Bernanke said he's going to fly around and drop $100 bills out of the helicopter.
Well, he did that sarcastically. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I know. But let's call Wells Fargo and get to the bottom of this. I want to call Wells Fargo, and I'm going to call them right now.
I'll be on mute when you do that.
Welcome to Wells Fargo. Para servicio en español, marque 9.
Español.
For account access or questions, say your account or card number or enter it followed by pound. For anything else, say other options.
Other options.
Other options. You can say open a new account, find a branch or ATM, verify an account, or damaged card. Otherwise, to access your account, say or enter the account or card number you're calling about.
Customer service, please.
I'll connect you to a banker, but first, please use a short phrase to describe what you're calling about. You can say things like, order new checks, or change my PIN. These are just examples. So, tell me what you're calling about.
Questions about Wells Fargo.
Sounds like you're calling about a card. Is that right? Card information. Which type of card are you calling about? A credit card, debit card, business credit card, or something else?
Something else.
Please hold while I connect you with a banker who can help you. This call may be monitored or recorded.
Finally. We may be on hold for about 1 or 2 minutes, I would imagine. But just be patient, callers. This concerns
you. If you have questions about your accounts due to the recently announced resolutions between Wells Fargo and the Los Angeles City Attorney, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. If you have questions about your accounts due to the recently announced resolutions between Wells Fargo and the Los Angeles City Attorney, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
We appreciate your business. The next available banker will take your call.
We may be on hold, folks, for a couple minutes, but just bear with me. It's a very interesting call. I don't want to put them on hold and make a disconnection and get my book through the whole queue again.
All bankers are busy assisting other customers. Please stay on the line for the next available banker.
The banker. They're going to hook you up with a banker, folks.
To Wells Fargo.
Here we
my
go.
Name is Michael. May I please have your name?
Hey, Michael. How you doing? My name is Joseph.
Good afternoon, sir. May I please have your last name?
Okay. Your name's Michael. Do you have a last name? I'm calling concerning my Wells Fargo account. Can you help me?
Yes, sir. Are you the only one that can hear me on the call?
Yes, sir. Your name is Michael. You asked for my last name. My question is about fractional reserve banking concerning my Wells Fargo account. Can you answer any of those questions for me tonight?
I can look up maybe what you're trying to refer to as far as the term fractional. Please hold on as I do some research.
Speaking to a computer.
We're not getting anywhere, right? Well, they already know.
Speaking to a robot.
Right? Am I the only one talking? We'll get to somebody, don't worry. It takes the rest of the show. I want to get to somebody.
All right, what do you mean by fractional?
I didn't say fractional. I said fractional reserve banking. I want to know how it pertains to my account. If you can ask me, maybe I have an account with Wells Fargo. And I've been doing a little research, and I was wondering, if I deposit $100 into my account, according to banking laws and practices, you can recreate that money as many times over as you want. And I was wondering, since you're a banker, because that's what the recording said, they were going to connect me to a banker, and you must be a banker. Am I right? Hello?
My position is a phone banker, sir.
Okay, you're a phone banker. Okay, phone banker. That's fine. Okay, thank you.
It sounds like
phone
we're on
banker.
A speakerphone, sir. For security, because I'm required
to
read some disclosures.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm on a cell phone. I'm sorry, sir. I'm a customer as Wells Fargo. I'm trying to ask you a question. Are you not?
Well,
are
yes,
you
sir.
Refusing
are you
to cooperate?
Wanting to,
or?
Well, I'm trying to, sir. I'm asking you for your name. You refuse to give me your last name. You didn't quite answer
my
the question.
My name is Joseph. My name is Joseph, and my last name is Gibson. How's that?
You,
are you satisfied now? Thank you.
I
thank
am.
You. Okay.
But I still have other security to go through.
Okay. Well, I gave you my full name. Do you have a name? Even hot dogs have last names. Do you have a name? You said your name was Michael. What's your last
Since
name,
you're
sir? Do you have an employee ID number?
If you're still dissatisfied with our services and customer service, I'll connect you to a manager.
No, I didn't ask. These are the criminals. Well, Fargo, folks. They're scared. They already know I'm on a radio show. They're scared. And they're listening as I speak right now. They're afraid. So stay tuned, because I have the fraud department next I'm going to call. Remember, you report fraud. Fraud by Wells Fargo. You see how he just hung up on me? And that's what BitBanker was talking about. How they just hang up on you and pass the buck to the next guy. Disgusting, folks. This is where you put your money, folks. Hang on. Let me mute this. Folks, this is where you put your money? In Wells Fargo? You allow people like this Hey, give me your money to hang on to. Give me your money to hang on to.
They don't want anything interfering with their plan.
I know. I can hear you, Bit Banker. I can hear you. I hope my callers can hear me also. But I've got to get to the bottom of this. I really do. And I hope everyone remains patient, because this is how all banks operate, by the way. Not just Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo was just the ones who got caught.
Now you're going to get a real person.
We have Danny. He's a supervisor with Wells Fargo. We do thank you for your business with Wells Fargo. Have a good night.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Hi, my name's Danny.
Thank
I work
you.
In the customer service center. I work in Boise. We're on a recorded line. How can I help you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I had a question for your customer service representative there. He said he was a phoned banker. I don't know what that is, but that's irrelevant. I had a question. I'm a customer of Wells Fargo, and I had a question. How does fractional reserve banking operate? Because from what I understand, when I deposit, just say hypothetically, $100 into my checking account, that's what we call it, checking account, you can recreate that money as many times over as you wish and lend it out to other people at interest. Do you understand what – so I was just wondering how that works, if you don't mind me asking.
No, I have no idea how that works. I've never heard of that before.
Oh. So you don't – So what happens when I deposit $100 into my checking account? Is that $100 on – I mean, because I looked up the banking laws and the bank and the audit committees of Wells Fargo, and we all know what's going on with Wells Fargo. They were just actually fined a bunch of money by the government because they created a bunch of fictitious accounts and deposited money into felonious accounts and were caught doing so. And then that's what made me look up fractional reserve banking. So do you know about that?
Never heard of fractional reserve banking.
No, did you hear about the Wells Fargo creating fictitious accounts? I mean, the lawsuit that happened. Where, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know
so
about
you
that.
Know about that. All right. And you work for Wells Fargo, so as me as a customer, I was just wondering, how does that affect me as a customer? I just want to know, how did they do that? You know, I mean, I don't understand. Did they take any of my money?
Where did the money originate from that they used to open these accounts with?
We got multiple people on the line?
Well,
yes,
I'm
listening
father.
On another line,
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. Just make sure we're aware. This call may be recorded for quality purposes. I didn't know we had one person online. To my knowledge, what I understand happened is that there were some aggressive sales goals, especially in the banking, like the actual branch locations. And in order to meet some of those goals, some of the personal bankers and what have you were opening up accounts without the customer's knowledge, just so they would meet a product quota that would allow them to make a certain bonus. As far as depositing money into that, I don't know anything about that. I think that the main issue was just opening up these additional accounts, checking accounts. Actually, I myself had one of those happen to me when I first
started. Oh, my Lord.
Yep. So, and I reported it, and I went to the ethics line and reported it, and that person that had done that had gotten fired. And that was, So I mean, I know what that feels
Doesn't that seem strange? Wells Fargo has a minimum opening deposit of $50 per account. I'm wondering where this money originated that these people used to open these accounts.
Yeah, I don't know. Not necessarily every account that gets opened up actually has a deposit. A lot of accounts get opened up without a deposit.
Wow.
I'd like to be able to do that at Wells Fargo, but they won't let me. I'm just a normal person, I guess.
I don't know how they do it, but I've seen a lot of accounts that are opened up that don't have an opening deposit. It's just a zero balance. I think the point of the opening deposit is that it actually helps avoid any kind of overdraft or monthly service fees.
Just seems a bit strange to me. And if I were you when I went home tonight, Danny, I'd look up fractional reserve banking, and you could give yourself a little bit of education and find out where your money really comes from.
Yeah, I think that that would be something to look up.
Yeah. I mean, you seem like an up – hey, listen, you're a customer representative that I've spoken to tonight that has been honest. And hats off to you for that, Danny. And I will contact the corporate office and say, hey, this guy is the only guy that I've spoken to from Wells Fargo that was honest and even gave his own personal experience. So, hats off to you.
I don't see any point hiding behind it. I mean, we're all affected by it. Our customers, the employees, all of us are affected by it. There's nothing to hide about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's because you don't know what they're up to.
Well, yeah, there's bad apples. It's true.
Yeah. But tell me, how long you been working for Wells Fargo, if you don't mind me asking, as a customer? I just like to know who I'm speaking to, if you don't mind me asking.
5 years.
5 years. And obviously you're an employee with Wells Fargo, and you've been very honest and upfront with me and my family member here who's on the line with me. He's on another phone line, and you acknowledge that. And most people would just hang up and run, but you were honest. And you know what? That transparency shows that there's good people out there still, even in the banking industry. I appreciate that as a customer from Wells Fargo, to be honest with you.
Well, good. I mean, we're all people, so.
Yeah. Well, Danny, you answered my questions tonight, but please, go home tonight after work and look up fractional reserve banking, and you may learn a lot because I know you've got other things to do. I mean, you're a supervisor, you're a manager, and you answered our questions tonight. Myself and my family member that's on the other line, that was great of you. And I really just want to say thank you. Hats off to you. You're a real American.
Well, it's the least I can do. I appreciate the compliment, but, I mean, not an issue. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Thanks. Danny, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
All right. He's muted. He's off the line. He's still online, actually. I'll hang up on him. But this was, I'm sure he understands that, he was on a radio show tonight. On Blog Talk Radio. Well, he just hung up now as soon as I said that.
This is the problem in America. 95% of the people have no clue on where their money comes from.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And that was very interesting. But you know what? At the same time, we achieved our goal there. But I'd like to report fraud, because this is fraud. And why should these people just be fired or repositioned? If you and I went into a bank and opened up an account under a fictitious name and made fake money, we sure as hell would be sitting in a federal prison tonight. Am I right or wrong?
Well, according to the Patriot Act, to open up an account, you have to give a picture identification, and so what they did was definitely against the Patriot Act.
Yeah, sure as hell was. You're absolutely right, and you know they saw multiple people listening on the line because they already got our phone number. You know that the first guy didn't even want to have nothing to do with us.
he sounded like a robot, to tell you the truth.
Well, I know. But anyway, hey, if there's anyone who wants to chip in before I carry on with this issue, and if you have something else you want to talk about, this is very interesting. I haven't checked the chat room yet. I don't know what's going on there. Well, we got about 8 to 10 people in the chat room. Nobody's really saying anything. If there's anyone else, we got another caller. So I'll go ahead and connect this caller before I carry on with this, because you need to pay attention, folks. This pertains to your money. Your money that you all worship and carry around and work hard for. And, no matter how you make your money, what you do with your money, it's your money. This is what you barter with out there, folks. And the banks are playing games with it, and crimes are being committed with it. But if it happens to you, you go to prison. These people get a slap on the hand. They get a slap on that. People see a $185 million fine. You know what the offenders did? They laughed. Punch in $185 million in the computer, Pepsi. Click. It's paid. You know? And that's how it operates. That's how it works. Isn't that disgusting? Hey, Mike in Wisconsin, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Hey, Joe.
I got you, Mike. Yeah, Mike, go ahead. You're live.
Okay. Hey, Joe. Hi, Joe. And hello, Joe. Two Joes. You know,
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Joe. You're absolutely right about, you know, the money system and everything. But you know where I'm going to go to? I mean, I'm sitting here at home, and I'm making homemade chili. Everything from the garden and my own beef. And where I'm getting at is, granted, you know, the ATMs are shut down. You can't get your money. You know, how are you going to buy food? You know, how are you going to do anything of that nature? On an average, people carry about 2.5 days of food in their refrigerator. And, you know, I'm just saying that, first of all, you can't get your money. Second of all, if you can't get your money, you can't go buy food. You know, and just like what happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I brought that up about the gasoline crisis. Was this a test? You know, there's a lot of good people in the city that work hard or what have you that are good people. What happens when they can't access gas and food and their money? What happens?
Well,
where
Nixon
happens
that
to
that,
our country?
Nixon did that in 73 with the gas shortage when barges were sitting offshore fully loaded and they wouldn't let them unload the gas, and they created a fake crisis. But Mike is right. You see, he's eating at home. But that's a limited situation for you too, Mike. You could go for a lot longer than anybody else. And what other people will do in the cities is they'll riot instead of doing like you, getting out there and working and supporting yourself.
But some people, Pit Banker, but some people, they got, what, a yard that they can only park a car in. They can't grow a garden. You know, they live in a 2-3 family house where are they going to grow a garden at? You know, and these are hard, and you know, they're hardworking people that go to work every day. So what do they do? What advice do we give them?
You can buy
Can. Like Michael, it's a little bit of planning. You get yourself a freezer and you learn how to cook. At least you could support yourself for many, many months just on that. You know, Mike's got a lot of land and he could go for a long, long time. But it's all about planning. It's all about having that NetSpend card in my wallet so I can get some cash when I knew Wells Fargo was going to screw me over.
Yeah. Good point. Mike, what precautions... Now, look, we're not preppers here. This isn't a prepper show. This isn't the apocalypse show where the world's coming to an end. But we all know and see what's going on in the world today. And we can fully understand and appreciate the fact that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we all want to protect ourselves and our family. We all have children out there, some of us maybe, or some of us are planning to have children, or some of us are in high school. I know I've got a couple teenagers maybe listening tonight. You know, so the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And we all know, ever since I was a child, the preacher's been saying, the end is near. But we can all appreciate the fact that the world is really deteriorating before our very eyes. So what advice do you have to give to those younger people out there, Mike or Bitbanker, because you're a little longer in the tooth than many of the listeners we have tonight? What do you advise them to do, or just not walk around paranoid or with an AK-47 on their back saying, the end's here, but be prepared and plan for tomorrow?
Well, like I said before, you know, if you can't grow a garden, you know, you can buy frozen vegetables, you can buy canned vegetables, you know, and even if that's a problem, there's these – packs you can buy from the, you know, that keeps food good for a couple of years. I can't think of the name of them, but, you know, they get them to the soldiers, you know.
The M1s, yeah,
but what I'm trying to say is this. If something happens to the banking system, okay, next thing it's going to be is, like you said, rioting, just like in South Carolina. I'm mad, so I'm going to burn down
North Carolina, Mike. North Carolina.
But, you know, I'm mad, so I'm going to burn down my only grocery store. You know? I'm going to burn down the only gas station in the neighborhood that I can walk to. You know?
Yeah.
Or like Joe says, for his cigarettes or for what have you. You know? There's so many people that only live just a couple days out of their refrigerator. A lot of them don't have freezers. You know?
Yeah, I'm losing somebody here. I'm losing Bitbanker or Mike. Somebody I'm losing.
Not me. I'm here.
All right. Mike,
you hear me?
Maybe it's you. You're breaking up bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not if the currency crashes. It's when. Because in no time in history has a fiat currency ever survived the test of time. So it's not if, it's when. And what information can you give people that's good information? It's good information my father told me. It doesn't really pertain to today, but it does. It's do you want it or do you need it? Do you really need that cell phone to be on Facebook 22 hours a day? No, you don't.
Yeah.
But you do need to communicate with people. You need to find another way. You need to be self-sufficient.
Well,
you need to do what
my banker. Speaking of which, I want to check in with Joe because, you know, I patch him through. So I have no idea if he wants to get in or not. So I have to give him the respect and ask him if he wants to comment. So I'll do that right now. And that's Joe in Sebastian, Florida. Go ahead, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, Joe. I'll say good evening to everybody there. Well, some time ago, I went through everything that you fellas are going through right now. I have 14 cases of food.
Wow.
That's about the way it goes. I bought it and I put it away, and that will. My thinking at that time was that I could keep my wife and myself alive. It says for a year, if you're frugal enough, then. In the way of money, I have some cash money here, plus I have tubes. They're, you know, they're PVC tubings of silver coins. Now they could be used as they're silver dollars, walking eagles, and That could be used as buying food, or it could be used as cash later on. They did go up quite a bit. Basically, I paid about $5,000 for it a couple of years ago. And they, maybe 2 years ago, they offered me $33,000 for it. So, the price has dropped down quite a bit. And... Well, I went ahead, the same as Joe mentioned, I had my trouble with the bank, and I went down there and straightened it out. My credit card, they said, oh, Mr. Gibson, you only got $2.32 in it. Well, they made some serious mistakes in it. They straightened that up. And when I went down to, it's the same bank that everybody's gone to, Wells Fargo. And I told them, now look, I've been a customer here for 24, 25 years. I said, I need some kind of service. So they stopped exactly. and they went ahead, they straightened it out, and one question was they went ahead and they put my savings account and my checking account on, on that. If I overdraw my checking account, they would take it out of my savings. So I had to change that around. So basically, they operated very nicely with me. They gave me the service that I wanted. But all in all, I agree with what Joey said. You do have to watch them. Watch them a lot. And don't forget now, nobody's mentioned it. You remember on TV, this little fat black boy, he's sitting in the house and he's eating his food. It looks like cereal. Well, basically, what he used is his mother. Well, he lived in India, and she takes the reeds that are that grow by a lake, and she grinds them up, and that's their food. And you can make I don't know if it's milk they put there or if they have a goat or what, but that's basically what they do. And there's food that we can all use, like one is foxtail, foxtail. They take that overseas and they make bread on it. Now over here, foxtail, well, it gets on the dog to give them an itch. But all in all, you can take that and make bread out of it. You can take mullein weed. That was what saved my mother's life as a medicine. But it can be kept in a jar and saved her life. And it's something that people can actually
save.
It
can save a lot of people's life. But Joe, real quick, as far as me calling out the bankers tonight, did you enjoy that for the program? Did you enjoy that?
Well, yeah, Joe, I wouldn't do it too much, though. It could be that, they might try ramifications.
I agree.
So, I agree, Joe.
I agree.
Okay, that's all
you're
I have.
Absolutely
had,
correct.
Back to you.
He's exactly right, and especially with the mullein leaf. Mullein leaves are very thick, and they're good for medicinal purposes, and they grow wild. You can actually even smoke them and roll cigarettes if you smoke. You can get dandelions and eat the leaves as a salad. There's stuff growing all over. Younger people today generally have no knowledge of these things. You have to be self-sufficient. You could save aluminum cans and melt them down because aluminum will always be worth money. If you're going to buy gold, that's a good thing, but don't invest your life savings in gold because you don't want to pay $1,500 or $3,000 for a loaf of bread. If you have money to invest, invest in gold, yes, but hold on to it for the long haul. Invest in silver, which is much less expensive, and you'd be better off if you don't have much money. Learn how to do something yourself. You can go out and collect skids made out of oak and make dimensional lumber and sell that and keep it and store it, things that don't go bad. If you want to feed yourself, grow berries, make your own jams and preserves. They last for years and years. Freeze drying is called sublimination. That's like what you call freezer burn in your freezer. They take it to 45 degrees below zero, and they raise the temperature. The moisture escapes, and it's called freeze-dried, and the food will last 30 years. You can do all these things yourself. All you need is a little knowledge and a little persistence, and you can all be self-sufficient. I'm done.
Well, I just want to say tonight, we're number one on Blog Talk Radio in the chat room. There's no other chat room on Blog Talk Radio tonight that has more chatters than I have, so that's great. Our caller line would drop off tonight a little bit. We've only got about 15 callers on the line, Usually my 9 to 10 supporters are here, of course. But hey, I didn't advertise the show too much. We didn't have a guest. I gave open mic night, and you know what? This will be an archive show. We called Wells Fargo live on the air, to get banking questions answered. That is important. That I will post as a link on Facebook, and I hope all my Facebook friends will forward the link, and even on Twitter. Look, I have over 1,700 followers on Twitter. So the show is growing. It's continuing to grow. We've been doing great. It's a lot of hard work. We've talked to a lot of important people over the last year and a half. You know, many different – we've spoken to politicians. We've called Walmart. We called the bankers tonight. You know, so the show is growing. And it's important for all of us to say, hey, when you – you know what? You're at a restaurant, say, hey, I'm a supporter of this show. Why don't you call in and check on? This guy will give you a voice. You know, give him the link to the show. Give him the phone number. Post it on your Facebook. Email it to your friends. You know, bookmark it. Email it to your friends. We'll get more listeners and more supporters. You know, just think back to when we first started out on this program. We couldn't even get a guest, you know. Now I got people knocking down the door wanting to get on here, but I have to make sure it's crowd friendly. I want to make sure it relates to my supporters and the listeners, you know. And I always give everyone a live voice on this program, and that's very important. But thanks to BitBanker and, of course, Joe in Sebastian, Florida, a regular supporter. I know he disappeared for a little while there with a broken hip. That's understandable. I hope he's doing well and healing fine. We got Elizabeth Rondo who's listening in Yalesville, Connecticut. Deborah Lewis in Eden right now. She's at work listening in Eden, North Carolina. Bridget Pruitt from Reidsville, North Carolina, our usual supporters. I had a couple other friends that tuned in. They don't want me to say their names. They're a little shy. That's okay. But, hey, the show is growing, and that's what's important. We have supporters around the country, and you know what that means? We're making a difference. We're going to become a powerful voice like I promised in the beginning. I really want to do on-location shows where I can get a microphone and broadcast live and have someone operate the studio, you know, on the computer where I could broadcast live with a microphone and get to these politicians and these cops and what have these store clerks and these bankers and record them live or get them on live and say, hey, I'm Blog Talk Radio, Joseph Gibson. Wow, what do you got to say? You know? I want to get in their face. That's our next step. That's the next project, and I need the people who are computer smart or illiterate or who have the connections to help me out with that. I'll get the microphone. I'll go out there, and I'll confront these people, you know, just like all other alternative media stations. Look at Infowars.com, Alex Jones, Michael Savage. You know, all of them out there. We'll get out there, alternative media, and put together bomb-breaking shows. I'm willing to do that. So that's what our next project is, to get out there and really make a difference instead of me sitting in a studio having to reach out and call people, which is okay, but I'd like to get out there and stick a microphone in their face and see what they got to say and let you listen to it live. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think so. So we'll go ahead and get ready to wrap it up tonight. Thanks, BitBanker. Joe in Florida, thanks for contributing. Wells Fargo, thanks for contributing, I guess. But and Mike out in Wisconsin, of course, as always. And, of course, Elizabeth Rondo, she's always on time and stays in tune the whole entire show. And, of course, Bridget Pruitt also. So, anyway, until Sunday, folks, this is Blog Talk Radio, understanding the times in which we live in. Your host, Joseph Gibson. Good night.
Now, let's set the record straight. Good night. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement.
And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I...
listening tonight, Blog Talk Radio. We broadcast Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you have a story to share, comment about the show, hey, call me, 657-383-0616. You're always welcome. I don't block anybody. I allow everyone a voice on a worldwide stage. Thank you very much. God bless. Take care.